Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Newsline. I'm Joy Sesti, WRNJ's news director, and I thank you for joining us this morning, also the host of Newsline. We always like to talk about topics of interest and local importance, and this topic is something that hits home all too often, and that has to do with child abuse. So we have our first guest this morning is Carol Levine. She is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. So a lot to talk about, a lot to get through today in Newsline, and so without further ado, good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Joyce. I'm happy to be here.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing just fine. Dear.
Very good,
thank
very
you.
Good. I'm just going to ask you to move a little bit closer to that mic. They'll try to help you out with it as well. But, okay. Carol, we have three things that you wanted to really touch on this morning, and one is the recognition thereof. And tell us a little bit about yourself, though, before we get into the whole topic. How long have you been dealing with said situation?
Actually, I've been dealing with child abuse for many, many years, okay, more on a professional level where I worked in different organizations. And then after that, I became a volunteer. And this stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, stands for NASCA, and that is our website. And I want everyone to go to that website when they look us up as www.naasca.org.
Good.
Okay. Now, on this website, what it does, it speaks all about child abuse.
Mm-hmm.
We have all different areas where you can go. You can go to the home page. You can go to recovery. I like to deal with the resource page the most. We have a little about us, and we have a contact page. On this contact page, Joyce, people can actually, there's about 15 of us, they can actually call us up. They can email us if they're in distress, if they need help. If they need to find groups where they can go to get help also. Most of us on the panel are survivors of abuse, not all of us. And then also, too, we have many, many guests that come on the show, many guests. We've had Erin Marin, you've heard of her. We have people that deal directly with child abuse in the sense of who write books. And that I really, really like a lot. Like we have, I'm going to give you her name. One of the books is My Body Belongs to Me. This is a book that every young parent should have, okay? And this, the author's name is Jill Starshevsky, and she's an assistant district attorney for New York. Okay, she was. She's a former one, I believe, now. She's written actually two books, My Body Belongs to Me, and then also to Nanny Cam, which is very interesting. And we've had her on.
It's certainly very topical.
Oh, yeah. We've had quite a few good guests. I mean, I can't tell you how many guests we've had. There's so many.
I want to get to the issue, and let's talk about that. And that is that first recognizing it or preventing it. How acute a problem is this? Can you give us some statistics? How many homes does this hit?
All right, let me tell you something. When you live, say, like on a city block, every fourth house has abuse in it. Every fourth. Now, what we deal with on our show is sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and neglect. Now, if kids aren't running around with broken bones and blood coming out somewhere, whatever, you don't realize they're being abused. With neglect, you can see maybe they're not dressed properly, appropriately for the weather, or maybe they're much too skinny, they're dirty, they're not well cared for. Maybe they've been beaten in the house, and maybe they do have some broken bones, and they weren't taken to the doctors or to the hospital. We have five children that die every single day in this country, from neglect alone. Now, people don't know that. What my job is to inform the public. I'm going to be working over at Centenary with Trixie Dixon. She knows you. And what she wants me to do is talk to the students and also to the community that's going to be taking place. And we're going to educate all of this area and certainly a lot more areas about child abuse. Parents have got to learn to be better parents. They have to be informed parents. They have to sit down with their children at a very early age, like, say, at two years old. This is all age appropriate, okay? A lot of times when a kid's taking a bath, they'll say, Mommy, what's this? Mommy, what's that? You know, you give them the names of the body parts. We have ears. We have a nose. We have a chest. We have breasts. We have a stomach. We have vagina, or we have a penis. We have, knees. We have toes. God gave us those parts. We shouldn't be ashamed of them. Now, you see, if the parents call them coochie or whatever, I know you're laughing, but, you know, everyone has names for them, right? If you don't give them the proper names of their bodies, they don't learn them. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse and other kinds of abuse, and when I had to tell the police or other people that were involved with other abuses, because I was abused so much, I am the author of Panic Child, A Harrowing True Story of Sexual Abuse and Neglect. You know, I didn't know my body parts. I had to point. Well, where were you touched? Here. Where were you touched? What happened to you? Kids need to be better educated. Parents have to learn to bond with their children, Joyce, to sit them down and, you know, like at bath time, let them know the names of the body parts, let them know the bathing suit area. No one is to touch any parts of your body in the bathing suit area. And if they do, that's a no-no, and they should feel comfortable to go to their mother or to their father or someone in the family and say, look, this is what happened. And let them know that they will be believed, they will be helped, and to go from there. You actually develop a bond with your children. Because so often what happens is when children are abused, they feel ashamed. The perpetrator or the pedophile will say, if you go and tell someone, they're not going to believe you. You're nothing but a snotty-nosed kid. And maybe he's a pillar of society. He might be a teacher. He might be a neighbor down the street who has a wonderful job. It's not always, you know, a dirty-looking person, and it's not always a male. It's male and female alike.
Mm-hmm. And a tremendous amount of guilt that goes along with.
Oh, absolutely. And if it's a person in the family, this is why we want the schools to get involved so badly, like the nurses and maybe a social worker, and we're working for this. We're working very hard for this. And so that if the children are being abused at home, they have someplace else to go.
Okay. I'm getting signals that I'm gonna take a break, and usually we do this a little bit later, but we're going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to continue to talk with Carol Levine. She is from the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. I hope you will. Stay with us.
Keeping you in touch with people who make the news. It's Newsline with Joyce Esty every Thursday morning at 10, right here on WRNJ 1510.
Hello, and welcome to Bellagiorno Catering in Belvedere. If you're planning a wedding or a special event, Bellagiorno Catering will make it all easy, elegant, and effortless. Easy because the all-inclusive pricing simplifies your choice. And an elegant facility created specifically for the special events of your life, surrounded by terraced gardens and artistically landscaped courtyards, magically complemented by the picturesque Pequest River flowing gently by, and a gazebo for an intimate outdoor ceremony. Bellagiorno, after all, is Italian for beautiful day. And for the bride on her wedding day, Bellagiorno provides a bridal assistant to keep the bride on schedule, easing her through the demands of pictures, dancing, special toasts, and every detail that adds up to a perfect day. And at Bellagiorno, your wedding is the only wedding. To see just how beautiful, go to BellagiornoCatering.com or call 908-475-0084.
Presenting Viewpoints on Anderson 400 Series Windows and Doors. Today's guest, Father Time.
Hello, I'm Father Time. Hey, you got a minute? Even for me, that one never gets old. Anyway, if you're looking for windows and doors that have withstood the test of, well, me, look for Anderson 400 Series windows and doors. They're beautiful in more homes than any other. And with over 100 years of experience, Anderson is the brand rated by builders and remodelers as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. So get time-proven Anderson 400 Series windows and doors and have me on your side for a change. I'm Father Time, and that's my viewpoint.
This has been Viewpoints on Anderson 400 Series Windows and Doors. Visit AndersonWindows.com for warranty details.
Available at Blue Ridge Lumber in Hackettstown, Blairstown, Kenville, and Ogdensburg. Blue Ridge Lumber. Just build it.
There's a very special family event coming up this Saturday at Napa Auto Parts on Willow Grove Street in Hackettstown. Hi, this is Doug Sharoff. Everyone here at Napa feels a strong connection to Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, a nonprofit that is dedicated to serving the United States military personnel wounded or injured in service to our nation. So this Saturday in Hackettstown, we're hosting an event called Get Back and Give Back. we'll have three race car drivers that Napa sponsors who will have their cars on display. Feel free to take pictures with the kids. You'll also enjoy family games with prizes and giveaways. And members of our local Army recruiting station will have a military Hummer on hand, plus a dog tag machine that'll print custom dog tags for the kids. We'll have free food and drinks with an option for you to donate to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund. So bring the kids and enjoy the day this Saturday, 10 till 3, Napa Auto Parts, 135 Willow Grove Street, Hackettstown. Plenty of parking in the field behind the store. That's Napa Know How.
You're listening to Newsline with Joyce Esty on WRNJ. If you want to know what's going on, keep your radio on AM 1510. Here's Joyce.
And thanks for staying with us. We are talking with Carol Levine. She is from the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, and that is the topic that we're talking about, a very serious topic. We've been talking about prevention. Now I want to talk about recognizing. You know, Carol, give us a little understanding as far as recognizing that there's a problem that maybe your child is not forthcoming with the information about.
Many times that happens, Joyce, especially if the children haven't really bonded with the parents. They're already embarrassed or scared. And 93% of the time, our children are abused by those that we love, trust, or we entrust our children to. It's only 7% that's stranger danger now. Okay, so that's something people have to understand out there, that a lot of times abuse comes right in the home. It's from the home. Now, what I have here before me is my favorite page that I speak from very often, and it gives people an idea as to what to look for, because a lot of times you don't see things that are on the outside, like broken bones and so forth.
Sure, what's the signs?
This is the resources page, and again, the www.naasca.org. This is where you get all of your information, and there's so much to learn. But indicators of children, like the toddlers up to about 8-9 years old, I can read off a few here for you. Sleep disturbances, again, this is the younger set. Sleep disturbances, bedwetting, they go back to that, they regress. Self-destructive or risk-taking behavior, refusal to be left alone, fear of an individual, such an alleged offender. Fire setting. 8-year-olds. I had an 8-year-old that had been setting fires, cruelty to animals, things like that. Sudden changes in behavior, difficulties in school, you know, starting to act out, and inappropriate interest for their age in sexual things, because this is what they've seen at home or they've been abused. Okay. Now, there's a few more on there, but we don't have the time. So, now on the right-hand side of this page, the indicators of sexual abuse to older children include eating disorders like overeating, undereating, you have bulimia, you have anorexia, running away, substance abuse, self-destructive behavior, incorrigibility, criminal activity. They end up in juvenile detention. I worked there. I found that many children had been abused that were in juvie. Okay, problems relating to their peers, sudden changes in behavior, anger issues, difficulty in school. Now, all this can be found on the resources page, and a lot more that'll help parents to understand better for, you know, the changes in their child's behavior. This is very, very important for people.
Are they radical changes or are they subtle?
They can be either or, but what happens is when it starts getting into where they're using drugs then it becomes more obvious.
Other abuses, such as you mentioned pyromania, and, you know, there's just a lot of different things.
There's a lot of different things to look for, Joyce. And also, too, again, remember, if a kid doesn't get help, if someone doesn't approach them and say, hey, and this is intervention, hey, I think there might be something a little going on, you know, let's sit down, let's talk. Hopefully they can do that with their parents. If they can't do it with their parents, because maybe the abuser is a parent, or maybe they haven't that bound, they haven't gotten that bond yet, then we're telling children now to go and tell. Always tell. Because they can be a hero. Whatever happened to them, they're stopping from happening to other children. And kids like that. They like to be a hero, okay? And that is true.
That's a nice way to take that guilt, take that victimization, and turn it around into being a hero.
That's right.
And that's what you need to do.
And that's what you need to
okay,
do.
Okay, that's excellent advice for a parent, that's for sure. Okay, recovery. Seek professional help always?
Always seek professional help. If you feel that your child has been raped, if a child has been raped, for God's sake, don't touch any of their clothing, don't wash their hands, don't wash their faces, don't change their clothing at all. You take them as they are to the hospital, just as they present themselves to you. And they will take it from there. They will contact the proper authorities and also social workers, and they'll do the rape kit if need be. They'll do whatever they have to do. If you suspect a child is being abused, you're not 100% sure, you call 1-800-4-A-CHILD. 1-800-4-A-CHILD is an organization that will look into the, they'll send professionals over to an address. You do not have to give your name. You can remain anonymous. People like that much better. And what they do is they send the people in, they do their assessments or evaluations, and they decide what that family needs, what the needs are from that family.
Because every situation has their own circumstances.
Absolutely. That 1-800-4-A-CHILD. I called at 2 a.m. I did get a counselor on the phone, and I ended up getting those people on our show.
And so it's so important that you do this with this intervention with a professional so that you can understand and how to help your child out of it.
Absolutely. And children who have been abused need a tremendous amount of counseling. They absolutely do. If they don't get the counseling as a child, then as they get older, they end up in the prison systems. People say, well, that doesn't affect me if some child is abused. They are ignorant. They don't know any better. Because these children of abuse, what happens is they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, like the older ones that I just read about. They end up getting in trouble, and they end up in the prison system. And in the prison system, there's a large percentage of those that have been sexually abused. Absolutely. With men, 14%, I believe it is, in the prison. With women, 36%. And when we speak about abuse on our show, it is about sexual, physical, emotional, and maltreatment or neglect. All right? That's what we're, and those are the abuses. We get our statistics from the CDC, the Justice Department, the FBI, missing and exploited children, and child health.
So that poor self-image, that poor self-worth, mm-hmm. is really just going to... just continue to grow and grow. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't say, well, we'll make sure that you're not in contact with this person anymore. I mean, because I hear this sometimes where, well, that happened, we've addressed it, and we're moving on. Is that a denial of sense?
Yes, it is, because you see, when a child has been abused, they never get over it, Joyce. They can get counseling for it. They can have wonderful therapists. They have to be therapists that know about child abuse, and you can shop around. Okay, you find the right therapist. Because some therapists out there do not have enough education on child abuse, and that's not good for the child. They don't benefit from the therapy. Okay? And then what happens later on, if a child doesn't get help, Joyce, they end up, like I said, in the prison systems, or they end up committing suicide, or they become abusers at home, whatever the case might be. And we do have groups. We have organizations. You can call our contact number. We will help you. We have a list of organizations all throughout the country where we can give people help. We can tell them where to go on their state. We have a state of the map of the United States. They call into the show, and we can tell them where to go. It's the highlights page. You click onto that highlights page, and you follow directions, and go to your state. We're in New Jersey, so you go to New Jersey, and a whole list of things will drop down where you can go for self-help groups. And this is very, very important, because people who have been abused need help.
You know, you're having come from that springboard, knowing what abuse is, what it can do, mm-hmm. and all the professionalism that you bring to the table here. As a survivor, what kind of things, because we talked about prevention before, and a lot of the prevention that we discussed is, mm-hmm. is really awareness.
Yes.
Being aware of the fact that this can happen, and it has happened so readily or so often, that is just a reality. Points of prevention. What do you tell parents that are saying, I don't want my child to go through this, I want to prevent this from happening? What's your advice there?
First of all, learn the signs of abuse. Secondly, sit down with your children and tell them that there are good people in this world and there are bad people in this world. And if someone approaches your child in the park, remember, pedophiles go where children go. And that's like with the Sandusky case. Look at that. He was always by all the children. So that's just, and he's just the tip of the iceberg, as our host says, and that's so true. Because a lot of the pedophiles are in the schools. So you teach children, if someone makes you feel uncomfortable, no matter what the age level is, you tell mommy, you tell daddy, you tell your parents, this person is making me feel uncomfortable, and look into it. Look at the daycare centers. Drop in unexpectedly, okay? Yeah, you bet. You know, don't even let them know you're coming. They don't know when I'm coming. I go there and I drop off information, and I do that for a very good reason, because a lot of abuse happens to the young, to those who have no voice. Okay, to those who have no voice. Bond with your children. That's the biggest thing. Speak to them about, you know, the good and the bad in this world. Don't be afraid. Teach them their body parts. Let them know about the bathing suit area. That's for the younger children. That'll carry on into them. Let them build self-esteem. Let them love themselves. Tell them how good they are. Tell them how much you love them. Give them boundaries. There's nothing wrong with giving children boundaries, but tell them why. Because I love you.
As a parent, though, too, we want to preserve their innocence.
Right.
And so, and it's kind of a catch-22. Mm-hmm. If we ignore the issue, mm-hmm. we are endangering them or could possibly be putting them into a vulnerable situation. Mm-hmm. And yet, if we talk to them about it, some of us feel that we are also, by doing that, kind of destroying a little bit of their innocence as well. So, you don't feel that way?
No. Because
why?
There's so many pedophiles out there. We cannot, this is an epidemic. It's an epidemic. We have to fight this epidemic. And the way that we do this is starting at home, okay, to teach our child about the world, all right? We have to do this. We have to protect our children. We have to arm our children. And the way to do that is to teach them about the people out there who can't approach them. If they're being approached by someone, and my granddaughter did this, I'm so proud of her. She was 11 years old. A man approached her, and she screamed like a maniac. She has lungs that would break a glass. And that guy turned and walked away real quick, because don't forget, a pedophile does not want to draw attention to himself or herself. They don't want to do that because they know they're doing wrong. So therefore, teach your children right. Teach them if someone's making them uncomfortable in the family, or if there's someone's making them uncomfortable, you know, outside in the park or at the pool. It's summertime now. For God's sake, keep a better look, a better watch on your children, because the pedophiles go everywhere. Wherever there are children, there are pedophiles. We have 850,000 children who are sexually abused every single year, and that repeats. And $124 billion is spent every year on the abuses of childhood, okay, of children. And that does cover the sexual, the emotional, the neglect, and whatever, all the abuses. All the abuses.
Carol, are we getting any better at actually reporting this and actually confessing that this has happened? Or not even confessing kind of denotes that mm-hmm. you have a guilt, but just being able to talk about it as opposed to thinking it's such a taboo that we can't. Are we talking about it?
We're starting to get a little bit better, because there's people like me who goes out with my mouth, and I talk to everyone and everywhere, you bet. But yes, it's still considered to be a taboo subject, but we're trying to break through that stigma, okay? And by doing so, and by doing what we do on the show, and also just people in general coming out, letting society know, I give out information everywhere. I want people to feel just as comfortable about talking about sexual abuse as breast cancer. You go into Michael's, into the craft store, and you know what? You see pink ribbons, you see yellow ribbons, you see green ribbons, you see for the gay rights ribbons. I want to see blue ribbons. And Michael's, because child abuse is rampant. It's epidemic. It's pandemic. It's all over the world. And we as society have to take a stand and say enough, no more. So what I gave you a little bit of information today is just a tiny bit.
Okay? Give us a website again.
And that is www.naasca.org. Go to that website and you will learn everything.
That's wonderful. Carol Levine, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate hearing from you and your being so open in talking to us about the issue. It is a very serious issue, something that affects every neighborhood probably in America.
Yes.
So I appreciate your being here, and we'll talk to you, I'm sure, again in the future.
Well, I'd love to come back and tell you more. I have a lot to say.
You did, but you made it a worthwhile half hour, so thank you for that.
Go beyond the headlines. Get into the heart of the matter on Newsline with Joyce Estee.